Louis Lambert by Honoré de Balzac. Translated by Clara Bell and James Waring. Section 1. Dedication. Et nunc et semper dilectoe dicatum. Louis Lambert was born at Montoire, a little town in the Vendomois, where his father owned a tannery of no great magnitude, and intended that his son should succeed him. But his precocious bent for study modified the paternal decision. For, indeed, the tanner and his wife adored Louis, their only child, and never contradicted him in anything. At the age of 5, Louis had begun by reading the Old and New Testaments, and these two books, including so many books, had sealed his fate. Could that childish imagination understand the mystical depths of the Scriptures? Could it so early follow the flight of the Holy Spirit across the worlds? Or was it merely attracted by the romantic touches which abound in those Oriental poems? Our narrative will answer these questions to some readers. One thing resulted from this first reading of the Bible. Louis went all over Montoire, begging for books, and he obtained them by those winning ways peculiar to children, which no one can resist. While devoting himself to these studies, under no sort of guidance, he reached the age of 10. At that period, substitutes for the army were scarce. Rich families secured them long beforehand to have them ready when the lots were drawn. The poor tanner's modest fortune did not allow of their purchasing a substitute for their son, and they saw no means allowed by law for evading the conscription but that of making him a priest. So in 1807 they sent him to his maternal uncle, the parish priest of Mer, another small town in the Loire, not far from Blois. This arrangement at once satisfied Louis's passion for knowledge, and his parents wished not to expose him to the dreadful chances of war, and indeed his taste for study and precocious intelligence gave grounds for hoping that he might rise to high fortunes in the church. After remaining for about 3 years with his uncle, an old and not uncultured oratorian, Louis left him early in 1811 to enter the college at Vendôme, where he was maintained at the cost of Madame de Staël. Lambert owed the favor and patronage of this celebrated lady to chance, or shall we not say to Providence, who can smooth the path of forlorn genius. To us, indeed, who do not see below the surface of human things, such vicissitudes, of which we find many examples in the lives of great men, appear to be merely the result of physical phenomena. To most biographers, the head of a man of genius rises above the herd as some noble plant in the fields attracts the eye of a botanist in its splendor. This comparison may well be applied to Louis Lambert's adventure. He was accustomed to spend the time allowed him by his uncle for holidays at his father's house, but instead of indulging after the manner of schoolboys in the sweets of the delightful farniente that tempts us at every age, he set out every morning with part of a loaf and his books and went to read and meditate in the woods, to escape his mother's remonstrances, for she believed such persistent study to be injurious. How admirable is a mother's instinct! From that time reading was in Louis a sort of appetite which nothing could satisfy. He devoured books of every kind, feeding indiscriminately on religious works, history, philosophy, and physics. He has told me that he found indescribable delight in reading dictionaries for lack of other books, and I readily believed him. What scholar has not many a time found pleasure in seeking the probable meaning of some unknown word? The analysis of a word, its physiognomy and history, would be to Lambert matter for long dreaming, but these were not the instinctive dreams by which a boy accustoms himself to the phenomena of life, steels himself to every moral or physical perception, an involuntary education which subsequently brings forth fruit both in the understanding and character of a man. No, Louis mastered the facts, and he accounted for them after seeking out both the principle and the end with the mother wit of a savage. Indeed, from the age of 14, by one of those startling freaks in which nature sometimes indulges, and which proved how anomalous was his temperament, he would utter quite simply ideas of which the depth was not revealed to me till a long time after. "Often," he has said to me,